Now, Dr. Emma Teeling is a lecturer at the School of Biology and Environmental Science at UCD, and she just popped into studio now because I believe, Emma, you've received a grant from the European Research Council to study bats for clues to healthy ageing. What's all this about?
Yeah, this is a project that I've been really thinking about for the past 15 or 20 years. So when I started studying bats, one thing that got me extremely excited about studying bats was the fact that they have a very, very high metabolic rate. So bats can fly. Mm-hmm. So they expend 3 times more energy than a mammal of similar size. Now, typically, small mammals, they have a very high metabolic rate, so they live fast and they die young. But bats are very unusual because what they do is they can live fast and live long. So if you could actually take a direct correlation between body size dash metabolic rate and how long an animal can live for, and you get a straight line. So you can predict how long an animal can live for given their high metabolic rate or their metabolic
rate. So how long can a bat live for if it doesn't crash into something and got shot or get beaten to death or whatever?
So they live 9 times. They can live up to 9 times longer than expected. Now, what that means is they've caught a bat.
What does that mean?
So think of a bat. So a bat's quite small, like a mouse. How long does a mouse usually live for? 1 year. But a bat that's even smaller than a mouse can live for up to 42 years. Now, this bat was caught in the wild as an adult, and it was caught 42 years later, living healthy, fine, still looking young. It had its tag on it and released again, so potentially it could still be alive. So they live for a ridiculously long
time. Now, this is a real bat?
Yes,
that
real
has been
live
studied.
Bat.
Okay,
yes.
Right, okay. What species was it?
Myotis brantii, a Brandt's bat.
Brandt's bat, okay.
Well, have you knocked 30% for hibernation when you say this?
Hibernation accounts for 6 years. If you want to do the maths.
But have you taken that out? And if you are you allowed for that? Is that part of your calculation?
Yes, if we allow for that, they still live for a very unexpectedly long time.
So you're trying to find out why this is the case.
Yes. What is it that they are doing to somehow enable them not to age as rapidly and as quickly as other mammals do?
It's what they're not doing. They're not reproducing. You have to live a long time to reproduce yourself if you produce only one youngster every year. So you have to live an enormously long time. Otherwise, you won't be around. Your offspring won't
but
be
But other
around.
Things besides bats only have one offspring a year and they
but
don't
live
that time.
But I think that it's their high metabolic rate. Yes, offspring plays a role in that. Hibernation plays all a role. But even when you take those things into account, they're doing something very unexpected. And so the question is how and why. And I think it's more what are they not doing? So as we age, the way some of our genes are expressed, they change over time. You get a dysregulation as you age. The genes that and proteins that protect you somehow stop being transcribed and expressed as well. So the question is, does this not happen in bats? And if so, how does it not happen? What allows this to
and
occur?
And are you finding out stuff about this?
This is, I have just received this European Research Council grant. I wrote the grant this time last year and just really signed off on all the final contract agreements now. So we're putting a team in place where we're going to go out and catch these very long-lived bats in France, take a teeny tiny amount of blood from them because we don't want to kill these bats. They're small bats.
Bats taking the blood from people.
Exactly, exactly. And we know how old these bats are. I'm going to study what happens to them as they age in the wild.
Now, this one that was 42, was it 42?
Yes.
Was it male or female?
Male.
All right, so could the female, would they be living, would the females not live as long? Because you're saying it's what they're not doing, Richard, which is reproducing.
Yeah, I'm thinking
would it have more of an impact on the female than it would on the male, presumably?
Well, I suppose that's true. But if you take the stormpetter, a small little bird, lives for that kind of time because it's produced only one youngster. Now, you can look at it two ways. You can say, you take a mouse will die in a year and a half. A rat will at most live 2.5-3 years. So, but it will produce an enormous number of youngsters in that time. So there's two models you could, I could ask you, which model applies? Do certain animals, do they select for death, in other words? Is death built into them so they reproduce fast like rabbits and then die because you're only a waste of time once you have reproduced and you're no longer any value to your offspring sort of thing? Or is the opposite? There's a selection in bats and stormpetters to live terribly long because if I don't live terribly long, I won't survive as a species. Which is it?
That's an extremely pertinent point because you're talking about these different life history strategies. And a theory is that if an individual has a long chance of living for a long time, therefore they should invest a lot of energy into protecting the integrity of that individual. And so think about what do petrels do? They fly. So do bats. And so they've argued that flight allows for reduced predator effect. So that typically mice, they've again, these life history strategies have argued that they live fast, have lots and lots of offspring, because chances are they're going to be eaten. So there's no point in investing an awful lot of energy into maintaining the integrity of you as an individual. Better off to have lots of babies all at once, because you're probably going to be preyed on very quickly.
Do you know, is there a difference if a bat is nocturnal or diurnal? Because obviously the ones we have in Ireland are mostly nocturnal, but and therefore less subject to predation by avian predators, let's say, or any kind of flying predator. For day flying bats in other countries, where they're more likely to be predated by birds of prey, for example, does that have an effect?
Well, there's very few day flying bats really at all. You'll find maybe two or three unique species that live on islands, and I don't know how long they live for. And they are the much larger typical fruit bats that do that, but the bats I'm talking about are all nocturnal.
Is there a death gene? After all, does something extra? We discussed menopause recently, and there are only three species in the world which have a menopause, and there are various reasons why they might have a menopause: ourselves, the orca, and the pilot whale. The rest don't do it. They just get rid of the female once she's no longer useful, as indeed they do with the male. He's already gone by this time. So is there an inbuilt genetic destructive mechanism in redundant parents, because they're eating into the resources which their offspring and grand offspring will be using? Or is it the other way around, that is just accidental? It's just a wearing out process which somehow the bats have managed to get around.
Again, that's another very interesting question. Philosophers have been thinking about this really probably since the dawn of civilization.
So what are you going to do?
What have you got to say about it?
So I was going to say that I don't know of a particular death gene. People are always looking for that. But what's kind of interesting, think about it, we're made up of a bunch of cells. So our cells, so at the end of all of our chromosomes, we have these things called telomeres. And as our cells replicate, our telomeres get shorter and shorter and shorter. And what happens is when they get so short, it signals that the cell should be destroyed. It's called this Hayflick limit. So then perhaps the limit of how long we can exist for is how long our cells can replicate for. So the interesting thing about bats is when you grow some of their bat cells in the lab, they've shown that they can live, they can undergo lots more rounds of replication. So maybe something unusual, they have their telomeres as they are actually, maybe perhaps they don't shorten as much, or they have ways to protect them. But again, these are all just theories. No one has really identified a single death gene.
But they do die, Emma.
Yes, of course they die. We all die.
So eventually they come to an end.
They come to an end, but they seem to be healthy for a long time. So an old bat seems quite healthy. And I'm interested in the idea of a health span.
You know what's going to happen now? You know, what do they call these? Is it the organic crowd? They're saying now, you know, instead of one of these aging creams, you get bat droppings and you rub them on your face and the wrinkles will be gone or something.
I wouldn't advise that.
When you take these blood samples from the bats, and will you be able to tell from the blood samples how old the bats are that you've taken them from, so you know whether you have a young bat or an old bat, or are you just taking blood samples from bats and you can't compare one with the other because you don't know the age of them?
No, we can't tell how old they are from the blood samples. These bats, this is a part of an ongoing monitoring project in France where all the bats have been caught when they were 1 year of age. So we know how old they were. They have transponders on them. And when we re-catch this individual, they come back to the same roost every year. We're going to know this bat is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and so forth.
So some of the work on these bats has been already done. So how old, when did this research begin in France? So how old is your oldest bat that you know of there?
So the oldest bat in our particular study site we'll know will be at least 10 years of age. But we do also have collaborations with other researchers who've been ringing these bats for 20, 30 years. So we're also going to look at those, so we know they're at least 20, for definite, at least 20.
And if you ever catch the 42-year-old bat again.
Oh, yes.
Why are you bothering to study bats? I mean, Tortoise and Lonesome George and all these guys, they live for hundreds of years.
But they're not mammals. And so what I'm particularly interested in is understanding how a mammal can actually do this. Because birds, they also live for a long time.
But they're not humans either. They're not mammals. Yeah.
The heart rate thing is a thing there. There was a theory, it's nonsense, but it has a grain of truth in it, that we live for 800 million heartbeats. Now, if you apply that to your tortoise, he's a big slow fellow, or a whale or something, blue whale, four beats a minute or something of that kind. A little mouse, 1,200, or a shrew, 1,200 beats a minute. He'll get through his 800 million bloody fast, and we with our 72 will get through it in 3 score and 10 plus nowadays. So how does the bat do on this? He must go up to 24-25 million, must he?
And this is the point is that they're very small. They have their heartbeats are as quick as this. They also fly. They have extremely high metabolic rate, but yet they're living for these very long times and they're healthy. So this is defying the rate of living hypotheses.
And why are they flying around at this time of the year? Why aren't they in hibernation? Why are the readers or the listeners ringing in telling us they can find bats flying around their farmyards.
I'd say it's not cold enough yet.
There's still enough insects.
Yeah,
for them.
And there must be. There must be still enough insects. For
can
them.
I ask you now, Emma, when you've done your research, how long have you got them in? When will the money run out? And then what are you hoping to find out at the end of it? And then when you find out what you're hoping to find out, if you find it out, what are you going to do with this great knowledge?
Well, it's a long question. So
that's right. Got several questions.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Looking at nuclear DNA to find certain sequences.
Richard, I'll let her answer your question.
I'll answer all those questions. So it's a 5-year project. We are looking at nuclear DNA. We're comparing genomes of lots of different mammals, that some that live for a long time, some that live for a short time, big ones, small ones, and so forth, to see is there any signature of this longevity within the bat genome. We're also targeting lots of different bats, the ones that live for a very long time that we know of, the ones that we think live for a shorter time. We're then coupling that with this field study out in France, out in Switzerland. We're going to catch the bats, take a small amount of teeny tiny 85 microliters of blood and sequence the entire, all the genes that are expressed and see how this changes as they age. But then we're also going to compare this to what we know about human aging, what we know about how mice age, what we know about another unusual long-lived species that, again, there's 19 species of mammal that live longer than expected than man. One's a naked mole rat. All other 18 are bats, so they do something very unusual, and they've shown that when they look at how their genes are expressed, they don't show this dysregulation. So the idea would be to compare what we do with what we know these long-lived species can do, with a view to targeting which regions within our genome might we need to modify to enable us to have a much longer health span. That's the eventual ultimate goal.
When do you start? Have you started already?
We are starting. I am looking for PhD students. I'm looking for postdocs. I'm looking for people, members, to come and join the team. I'm going over to Brittany in December to meet with all the vets and the field biologists. I need to learn French fluently between now and December.
Well, you bring Richard with you. He speaks a few words, don't you, Richard?
And people have to have to qualify? So can people ring you up and say, take me, or what qualifications do you have to be a member of your team?
You need to have if you want to be a postdoc, you have to have a PhD. And you also just go look on the website if you want to go, and you can all different criteria and eligibility parameters are listed.
And are you ageist? Would you take Richard, for example, now?
Oh, that I were young again.
Richard's got a PhD. Would you take him?
If he had all of the experience needed and he did well in the interview, then yes.
Well, he asked you all the pertinent questions, as you said yourself. So I think he'd be a...
Could we patent it? Because if you could patent this little sequence and use it, oh my God, would you be rich? This would be the elixir of life.
You really want to live forever. Richard.
I'd be very curious to know what happened next. That's the awful thing about dying, not finding out what happened next. That's the only thing that
it'll always be what happened next.
But anyway, have you found anything? Are there clues? Not that you're willing to divulge the detail, but are you getting there? Are you able to find this thing?
There are lots of clues. So there are lots of different aging areas, different molecules, different, such as the telomere, such as your mitochondria, perhaps their immune system, lots of different things that we're going to explore. But again, this is science. It's frontier science. We don't know the answers yet. So this is what we're hoping to find.
Well, Emma, thank you very much indeed for coming in, and come back to us and tell us more.